Good morning. This is Pearls and Swine. I'm Travis, and I'll be your host for this week. And we've got something kind of cool and special that we're doing here this week, a little bit different than usual. We are going to be talking about one of our ministries that we have here called Celebrate Recovery, or CR for short. And Celebrate Recovery is this amazing ministry that we have, and it's really for anyone. It's what makes it different. It's what sets it apart from other recovery ministries like AA or things like that, because this is a ministry, this is a recovery program for anyone who has hurts, habits, or hangups, or you just want to be set free from those things. And so everybody is welcome to join and partake in that. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've all got some baggage in our lives, things that have been wounds in the past that still haven't healed, that we haven't dealt with or processed, or we're struggling through maybe addictions or just having a rough time, and we just want to have some change there. And so everybody's welcome. You don't need to sign up ahead of time to show up at our CR meetings here that happen every Monday evening from 6:30 to about 8:30 p.m. And we just truly believe that when you surrender to Jesus, when you can experience the transformation that he brings and the freedom that he brings, and that only comes through him. We've got some guests with us today who are near and dear to that program. Their hearts are definitely deeply invested in it. And we're going to kind of pick their brain and talk to them a little bit about the process that they've walked through with recovery. And I might as well introduce our guests here now. We've got Matt and Lisa Watrous with us this morning. And I think it would be fair to say, maybe a bit of an understatement, but you guys have been through a process of recovery. So can you just kind of walk us through what that looked like and how that worked for you guys?
We're really glad to be here. And I'm going to say, Matt, why don't you answer that question?
I guess if I reflect on my experience, 3 years ago, I would not have said that I needed to be in a recovery program. I grew up in the church. I understand the language of the church. I've read my Bible. I've gone to Sunday school. I think as I reflect back again, you know, one of the things I didn't realize that my life had become unmanageable. There were problems in my life, addictions with porn, there was addictions with alcohol. There was my own addictions and my own fantasies and trying to have life the way that I wanted it. And to cover up those problems, I mainly turned to alcohol, and that became a real problem in my life. It did become unmanageable. And I didn't realize the separation. I grew up understanding that I needed to turn my life and my will over to God to let Him have control in my life. Understanding this and the biblical principles that, you know, go along with this are something that are ingrained in me. But slowly, it seems as though I worked into my own self the idea that I could create a solution for myself. And so my recovery process became when it was threatening the livelihood of my family, when I was about to lose the thing that the Lord had given me, that He had done so miraculously, my wife, my kids, because there was no way that they could live with me and the person that I had become. I'd become selfish. I'd become unable to be around. I assume it was walking on eggshells all the time because I could become angry. So my journey through recovery has been one that has come to understanding that I had a problem, a major problem, a problem that affected many other people. Acknowledging that although I had been trained in my all my life to understand who God was and what the principles of the Bible teach, that I had not practiced those, and that I had to turn my will and my life over to the care of God.
You know, I like what you said there about just not having God in the driver's seat of your life. And for you, it was as a major addiction when you look at the alcohol stuff that you were talking about and how it impacted everybody. But what we were talking about last week with Celebrate Recovery and who it's for, I love that it's for everybody. We all have, what are they, the hurts, habits, and hangups. And so, you know, whether it's porn addiction, alcoholism, whether it's anger stuff, or just the fact that we all want our own way in our lives. And, you know, you talked about growing up in the church, and we know what the Bible tells us, what God wants for our lives. But we all, and myself included, I'm talking to me really right now, is like, I've got these things of how I want stuff to go and how I want it to be. And it's not always in line with what God has for me, or for my family, or for others. So that's what I really appreciate of seeing how Celebrate Recovery kind of overlays with, it can apply to everybody because it's biblically based. It's right out of scripture. So did you go through Celebrate Recovery?
No, this is actually my first involvement with Celebrate Recovery, but I spent some time with other 12-step programs. During my recovery process, I did a intensive outpatient therapy, IOT, I think, or IOP. IOP is what they call it. And so during that process, that's where I spent, oh, I want to say 3 hours a day in therapy with other people that were struggling to or in a recovery process. Through that grew 12-step involvement, and then now we're moving into the Celebrate Recovery.
So what are some of the similarities that you see between other recovery programs and CR that are great or maybe not so great? Can you speak into that a little bit?
I think the strongest thing that, to go back to my story, I really think that the first couple steps or principles in Celebrate Recovery or first steps in a 12-step program really help outline that that you have a problem and you can't control it, or this is something that you have to have help with. And then to yield yourself and acknowledge that problem and then yield it to a higher power, if we're talking for a 12-step program or in Celebrate Recovery, we bridge that and say that that higher power is God, is Jesus Christ in our life, our salvation. And so we bridge that gap, and that's the strong. Obviously, there's a lot. They always say work the program and do the work. There's a lot of work that comes after those, but taking those first two steps and that realization is really the key to, I believe, the 12-step program and any type of recovery program.
And so, Lisa, would you mind just sharing with us what you were going through during those times?
Well, I think for me, it was an equally surprising thing to come to terms with the fact that we needed some kind of help, that our life together and separate had become unmanageable. And admitting that as a church person in leadership in church is a really, really, really tricky thing. It takes a fair amount of courage and help from the body of Christ, which is what I mean, I suppose that the first two steps of Celebrate Recovery principles and the 12 steps are crucial, as Matt points out. But I also think the thing that makes Celebrate Recovery different and really beautiful is the necessity of the body of Christ to help you towards your recovery. Certainly, there are great communities and relationships that are formed within other 12-step programs, and I'm actually a member of another 12-step program, and I value those relationships. However, there is something very unique, even supernatural, about the body of Christ, and Celebrate Recovery is big on that. So the connection with the local church, I think, is pretty powerful. So it was hard for me, I guess, to answer your question in a roundabout way. It was really hard for me to come to terms with Matt's addictions, to recognize that I could not do anything about it. I'm a person who likes to make change and get things done, and to realize that the person I cared about the most, I had no ability to help him toward recovery, that I had to give it completely to God, and I had to leave it in Matt's hands, was a really, really hard thing. But once I did, and I was finally honest about the addictions that had plagued our marriage for many years, there was a great freedom there. The body of Christ, actually here at Evangel, our friends here are very dear to us, because even though at the time we were in Arizona, they still surrounded us with prayer and advice and encouragement and counsel, and they brought us to recovery. They carried us there, and I'm really grateful for that, because once you tell the truth, you don't know what's going to happen. And so we did, and God has done amazing things. Well, I think, too, one of my favorite, I don't really care for, was it 1 Corinthians 13 with all the loves? That's a silly wedding passage. You know, it's way overused. However, one of my favorite lines in that passage is that love believes the best. And I think that in our marriage, we try to model that kind of love. And Matt was in the middle of addiction that was threatening our marriage in many, many ways. And it was not fun to live with him. Not fun. However, Jesus, when he looks at me, sees the best. He sees, God sees Jesus. And I think that if our love in our relationship, in our marriage can look like that, what beautiful things that God can do. And so, I think that we both kind of approach our marriage in that way, that God sees us not for who we are, but who he is and what he has done. And we could maybe with faith see that too. And to Matt's credit, he did the work. So he did really hard work. It was hard to do that. And so I'm thankful for that.
So what intrigues me is like, okay, you get to this point, you realize you have a struggle, a problem, and you have to come clean. And even when you, Lisa, were talking about like getting support of the church, that's a scary thing to do. Whether it's Matt, your issue, or the having to share it with everybody else. How did you come to that point? What was it that maybe pushed you as like, yeah, now I need to go here and I need, you know, you talked about giving control over to the Lord in your life, but how did you do that individually and how did you get to that place together?
Well, I think the recovery process is part of that help. As you go through the recovery process, as you yield yourself to your higher power, or if you yield yourself to Christ, it begins to work in you and you begin to think about, you reflect on your story. And if you visit a 12-step meeting or if you go to Celebrate Recovery, people will be sharing their story of addiction, their story of recovery. I think you see this modeled also in the Bible, that we share our testimony with each other, and and that is an essential part of the growth that you find through the recovery process. So coming clean is actually the method by which you begin to feel some healing, begin to put some distance between your addiction and the way that you want to see your life lived for Christ. So it's all part of it, and it gives you, as you recover, it also gives you the courage to be able to share your story and say, the worst is behind me, because living that way and hurting those people is far worse than feeling the embarrassment or dealing with shame that you've made some mistakes, because it is far, again, just far better to live in the recovery process than to live in the hurt.
All of us as believers, we've come from that place where we've had the guilt and the shame, where we have to come to the realization that, you know what, in God's eyes, we're not clean, we're dirty, we're muck, but because of Jesus, he loves us so much that when we go to him and we confess our stuff and our dirt and we let his light expose our hearts, he wants to make us clean. And that is, you know, when we walk in that faith journey with God, our place, like, we don't feel it in that moment, but once we come to know Christ, we realize, oh yeah, I was so bad, you know, and then Jesus wiped it all clean for us. And we have to do that 180, that repentance moment. So, I mean, it's hard. It's hard for when we're just as believers walking through that. And then you throw in your wife and your family and having to do those things, man, I'm just like looking at you as like, he's the man over there. Like, I'm not trying to puff you up too much, but like to have the guts that it takes as a man to own up to our stuff and recognize I've got a problem. And so from my question for you, if I can push in a little bit, what was that moment like for you? Where did you come to that place where you're like, oh, this has gotten out of hand for me?
I would say for about 6 months leading up to the decision to go into recovery, I've maybe even longer, I felt that there would have to be a stop, or something terrible was going to happen. I appreciate Lisa in that she was persistent and that she stood up, and she relinquished the control that she wanted to put on me to recover and said, this is where I'm at. You need to recover or we have to make a change in our marriage. And she left it up to me. And I would say that at that moment when she relinquished that control and said, it's a decision that you have to make and this is what is on the line, I think that is probably the moment where I could say that, you know, recovery was the only option and I needed to press forward with that.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you guys want to share?
I think that were I to share, it would be more of an invitation. I think the hardest part for me of getting Matt to recovery was what other people in the church might think of me, because we're like regular people. You know, I'm a pastor's kid. We're regular people. Everybody knows us. And as Matt said, we know the verses, we know the songs, we show up every Sunday. And I would encourage people who find themselves in a similar situation, whose lives are overwhelmed by addiction, whether you are the one who's addicted, or you're the partner of one who is addicted, or you don't think you're addicted, but there's something that tells you you might have issues, and you're in the church, and you're afraid of what other people might think. I would say Evangel is a place where arms are open wide, and it is a place where you can be who you are, and God will transform your life. He can do that. I have seen it, and it's worth telling the truth.
The church has to be a place where you can confess your stuff and work through it. We're not going to pat you on the back and say, hey, keep going, it's okay. We're going to love you and come alongside you for change to the way that God wants for your life. And we just truly believe that when you surrender to Jesus, when you can experience the transformation that he brings and the freedom that he brings, and that only comes through him. So those ministries of our CR program happen here at the church every Monday night at 6:30. And something really cool that's coming up in August here is that every second Monday of the month at 6 p.m., there's going to be a CR community meal. So you don't have to sign up. You just show up a half an hour earlier than the program starts, and you can hang out with the folks that are there, build some community, have some fellowship with them. And that's on every second Monday of the month starting on August 14th. This has been Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Community Church podcast. Hey, if you liked what we talked about this week, or you've got other ideas or topics that you'd like for us to cover, feel free to shoot us an email. You can email me directly, travis@evangelup.org. Or if you want to catch up on some of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes that we've done, you can search those out on your podcast platform of your preference. Just use the search word Evangel Houghton and those should pop up for you. And if you're wondering about CR, we'd love to have you guys come and hang out with us every Monday night, 6:30 to about 8:30 here at Evangel Community Church in Houghton. And we will catch you guys next time.